Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight is ADHD and thinking, important insights. We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show. And write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
When you have ADHD, putting in an 8-hour workday while maintaining maximum concentration can be a challenge. Here are some strategies to help. Make your physical environment less distracting. Use your laptop, smartphone, or alarm to track appointments and deadlines. Break up long tasks into shorter ones. Take breaks and walk around. Before you leave work, take 5 minutes to organize your work area for the next day. To learn more about workplace issues, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
I'm very excited about today's show. I had the privilege of hosting Attention Talk Radio for 14 years now, and over the years I've been able to interview subject matter experts, and it was amazing because I never dreamed I would get the education that I did through those particular years. And I'm doing more shows now where typically I've had guests, but I'm kind of amalgamating information that I've learned, which is kind of difficult to find guests on this particular topic. And I found that, you know, it's probably easier if I just kind of walk my way through it. And so today is a show that I'm particularly excited about, because in all my years of studying, I'm really all about what's really driving the bus here. And in the world of ADHD, we have a tendency to make a lot of judgments based off of what we see. Cognition is really kind of invisible and intangible. And so number one, it's hard to know what you're looking for. And at some point you have to have a definition of it so that you know what it is. But there's a lot of guesswork that's associated with it. But needless to say, today I'm here because I want to talk about thinking. One of the things I learned from Dr. Russell Barkley is amazing, and that is his construct that he built, looking at ADHD as an executive functioning impairment. Now, understand, before 2010, there was a lot of we've been talking about executive functions for a long time, but before 2010, there was, I think, 32 or 34 different definitions of executive function out in the literature. And as he described, it's a dog's breakfast of anything, like anything goes. And really, it's hard to do anything if you don't have a precise definition of it. So he set out to define executive functions, and he started with self-regulation. Needless to say, is he defined executive functions as a collection of mind tools that you use to problem solve. We have a tendency to think of executive functions as an outcome. We know you use executive functions in order to plan, but not a lot of people are looking at the individual executive functions and how they interact together to produce a plan. So in short, I reorder the executive functions, not in the way that they develop, but kind of the way they work together. So the first one is self-awareness. Humans are the only animal that can step out and see ourselves, if you will, in a third person. Next is emotional self-regulation. Humans are one of the only animals that actually can change their emotion. Not an easy thing to do, but if you are like in rage and seek to, you can do things to calm yourself down. The third is self-restraint, the ability to pause and override your urge. I kind of lump these three together and call it self-regulation. If you're self-aware, you can down-regulate your emotions, you can restrain yourself. Now, a lot of people talk about people with ADHD being impulsive. This is kind of what we're talking about. But today I'm really here to talk about the next ones, and that is visual imagery. We have the ability to see things in our mind. Now, when I say see, it's not just you can see, visually see something, like literally. Sometimes it's like you can see a concept or like a model. It's not necessarily a clear picture, but you can capture like the concept of something in your head. There's also nonverbal working memory, which is basically self-talk. We all talk to ourselves as we work towards a goal. The third is playing with information in our mind. People with ADHD or humans can actually take information and kind of play around. Collectively, when you use all three of these, visual imagery, nonverbal working memory, and you're playing with information in your mind, that's thinking inside your head, all right? Again, that's thinking inside your head. Now, we have kind of six executive functions the way I've described it in two categories. The first one is self-regulation, and the second one is thinking inside your head. And in a second, I want to be very specific. What I've learned as a coach is when we talk about thinking inside your head, we're talking about problem solving, which is the epicenter of what we're going to talk about today. So understand that people with ADHD, when something is uncomfortable, like boredom is physically uncomfortable, it takes a lot of cognitive effort to sit in that discomfort, right? Think of it like this: as you're in pain, it's hard just to sit in pain. We all, like you've got a splitting headache, are going to do something to seek some comfort or get some relief. So boredom is an area that people with ADHD often struggle with. Also, when cognition, and I'm going to get into that in a second, is difficult, it's uncomfortable. It takes a lot of cognitive effort to think through very difficult things. And so it's uncomfortable, like physically uncomfortable, and there's an emotional urge to seek relief. Now, if we begin to understand this, over the years I have really kind of studied this, and I'm starting to realize that ADHD is far more of a thinking impairment than most people realize. Now, let's pause for a second because I think this is really important. We look at people's behavior, and the go-to interventions for ADHD over the years has been more behavioral training. Certainly, you can take your dog to training school, right? And you can train your dog to sit and heal and do other things. As humans can be, they can be trained to do things. This is a Jeffism. This is my opinion. I'm not trying to represent this as research or fact, but in my opinion, if you have something that's impaired, all right, my eyesight is impaired. In order to deal with something that's impairment, I need some type of an accommodation, like my glasses. If I use my glasses with my impaired sight, I can read and I can achieve my potential. So fundamentally, somebody might be colorblind. That's an impairment. Somebody might not be able to walk. That's an impairment. There's all kinds of devices and stuff out there that can help us when we have an impairment. My personal philosophy is a lot of behavioral training goes into helping those with ADHD. And at one level, it can be somewhat helpful. But here's the thing. Impairments impact behavior. Let me repeat, impairments impact behavior. So if we're trying to use behavioral training with somebody where the underlying issue is an impairment, we can begin to understand why behavioral training actually has some limitations. And what I'm going to propose here is that ADHD is very much a thinking impairment, actually define what thinking really is, because we all have lots of thoughts, and lots of people with ADHD will argue they think all the time. But we need to kind of use a Swiss Army knife to take a look at this, and I think that we can really kind of illuminate some really incredible things. With that, I think it's time really we should go to a break. I would like to give a shout out to Time Timer. They have been by my side since 2011 as an advertiser for this program, supporting our content and delivering this to you. I would encourage you guys to check their site out. They make a great tool to help you with what I call clock math. It's a cognitive shortcut that helps those with executive function impairments really kind of see and really manage time. Our secret tonight, word tonight, is important. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about ADHD and thinking. And I want to reveal what I consider to be important insights. And again, I want to reiterate, this is the world according to Jeff as a coach and working with people to try to sort through this and after interviewing some of the foremost experts in the world. So before the break, we talked about ADHD as an executive function impairment as defined by Dr. Barkley. We talked about the executive functions and we classified them into two groups. One is the ability to self-regulate, to pause and override your urge. And the other one is thinking inside your head. I want to be very specific when we say thinking inside your head, it's goal-oriented, which we're going to get to in a second. We started talking about impairments need to be accommodated. And if we're using behavioral training to help people with ADHD and there's an underlying impairment that we're not accommodating, then I think that training has some limitations. Again, that's the world according to Jeff. I don't really want to step anybody's toes, but in my experience, that's what I found. So let's talk about this. Now, the challenge of our world is we become victims of language. We start to use language because it's shortcuts. It's cognitive shortcuts. Sometimes we don't really want to hear all the details, and we tend to globalize a little bit. And out in the world, when we talk about thinking, it's been interesting to me because when I go out and I did a little ChatGPT thing and I did a little just a definition on the internet, and it's talking about action of using one's mind to produce thoughts. My take on it is a thought is a thought. You can just have a thought, all right? You can have a thought on a product, but it takes a lot of work to bring that thought actually to market. But a thought's just a general thought. And a lot of times people with ADHD, they have thoughts and we think it's thinking. So to me, let's break this down into some categories. One is just daydreaming. You're just looking out and you're letting your imagination wander. It's really kind of untamed. It can go anywhere it wants. You can start when you want. You can stop when you want. There's really no goal associated with it. You're just kind of floating on a breeze. For many, it's often kind of fun. Many people can just sit there and daydream. Children can kind of daydream for hours and stuff like that. And it takes thoughts to daydream. And again, that is what some people consider thinking, or part of thinking, which is okay. I just give them that. There's another area, though, that I call emoting. These are where we're having thoughts. But they're more like, I hate that person. or worry. These are thoughts that are coming to your mind. They're not really objective thoughts. They're more subjective. It just kind of comes to mind. Judgments, like that person is an idiot or that person is stupid. There's a great quote that I use all the time that thinking is difficult. That's why people judge. And so there's lots of people who have lots of thoughts, but they're characterized to me by more emotional thoughts. They're snippets. They're not really intense. Roll your sleeves up and really do kind of heavy analysis. Again, these are emotional thoughts or thoughts of worry. They don't typically move you forward. You're just kind of dwelling on something for a period of time. We also have learning. It takes thoughts to learn. You might read a book and ponder something and have a thought or two, maybe kind of like daydreaming or just kind of wondering. This is a higher level of thinking than worrying or emoting, okay? But learning is really kind of digesting of information. We go to university to learn. It's a transfer of knowledge. For example, the Pythagoras theorem was figured out years ago. We take math class, that equation is transferred. That knowledge is moved from one person to another. It's a tool of sorts that they have. So when you go to school, you learn and you digest information. Now, let's make a turn. This is where it gets really interesting. This is where we're talking about thinking is actually problem solving, right? We're problem solving. In school, we go and we learn lots of information. We learn the times tables. We learn the Pythagorean theorem. We learn different types of things. But when you go out in the world, the idea is to take what we've learned, apply them. I wrote an article many years ago about the fact that we can go to school and we can learn information where knowledge is transferred from one person to the next. But when you get out into the real world, there's only one degree. That's the degree of failing forward at the school of hard knocks. It's the application of knowledge that's the trick. I remember I got my MBA many years ago, and people asked me, did you learn much? And I said, you know, I don't know if I learned a lot, but it organized the information that was really, really helpful. As I am in my own business, it's interesting to me because I've tried to apply a lot of what I've learned, and I've had to pay a pretty heavy price at the School of Hard Knocks because the only price is actually you have to pay for failing forward. It's that trial and error in order to put things together. Now, let's begin to understand this as a context. One of the things that I do every once in a while with somebody is they'll come to me and I'll say, you remember exponents? Yeah, like 2 to the power 3. You multiply 2 times 2 times 2, and you get 8. Then I often tell people, can you calculate 3 to the power of 5? What's interesting is often I get I'm horrible at math, or they'll start going 3 times 3, and I have to tell them they can't use their fingers. Understand that this is a simple attention exercise that I use in Attention Scope, which is a lens that I've developed to bring tangibility to executive functions. Understand is that having to multiply 3 times 3 is 9 times 3 times 27 times 3. This is kind of the area where most people get lost, and they begin to forget how many times they've multiplied 3 times itself. What's important to understand is this is thinking towards a goal. The idea is to get to the answer, which is 243. This is impaired for people with ADHD. The ability to problem solve in their head is essentially what the challenge is. Remember, we talked about Dr. Barclay's model. It's an executive function impairment. Thinking inside your head is difficult. Now, when we say thinking, but today, this show is not, we're not talking about daydreaming. We're not talking about emoting and worrying. And we're not talking about learning information. We're talking about taking information and solving problems. Solving problems. Now, understand that solving problems has a certain amount of constraints to it. It's not like daydreaming where you can float on a breeze. It's not like emoting where you can really say anything you want at any given time. And if learning's a little bit higher, you're getting that information, and you might do homework exercises, but there's a lot of plug-in numbers, a little bit of monkey see, monkey do. When you are in math class and you're Pythagorean theorem, you're applying that type stuff. Of course, we didn't like word problems, at least I didn't, because we had to read stuff and we had to identify variables and actually derive equations. But the epicenter of the challenge for people with ADHD, in my opinion, is problem solving inside your head towards a goal. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back, and we'll start talking about this and the insights, why it's so important, why I actually sat down to do this show. Our secret word tonight is important, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Look, buddy, we're back again talking about ADHD and thinking. So far, we've talked about ADHD as an executive functioning impairment, two parts, self-regulation, and actually problem-solving your head. Before the break, I tried to kind of like frame out different things that we do when we have thoughts to try to isolate. When we're talking about thinking in the context of ADHD, we're not talking about daydreaming. We're not talking about emoting. We're not talking about learning. These are often confused. People with ADHD say, I'm thinking a lot, but there's also usually a lot more emotion associated with it. Problem solving is actually kind of looking at the object of fact. Before the break, we did that little simple calculation of 3 to the power of 5. Now, what's interesting is when I give that to people and their first response is, I'm horrible at math, that's an emotional reaction, believe it or not, because they're being confronted with something that's going to take a lot of cognitive effort. Ah, this is where that Swiss Army knife comes in. When you think about thinking inside your head and problem solving, there's a lot of synonyms that we see out there, like planning, managing time, making decisions, decluttering, all right, prioritizations. Believe it or not, every single one of these items that we're talking about requires you to think inside your head towards a goal. Now, there's a lot of things that we do to try to externalize thinking. If I asked you to calculate 3 to the power of 5 and you whipped out a sheet of paper, it wouldn't be that difficult, but you would be externalizing your thinking. I repeat, externalizing your thinking, making it easier. When people with ADHD are with other people and they can ask questions, in a moment of ambiguity, they can ask questions to get clarity, or they can brainstorm. These are all forms of thinking outside their head. All right. So to me, the issue with ADHD, it's a impairment of problem solving. All these things that we talked about are the things people have a hard time with. Brown once said, as the need for independent work increases, ADHD productivity decreases. Interesting, huh? When you first said that, I said there's something to that. But now that I understand this a little bit more, is basically when people with ADHD are sent off to think inside their head, to kind of do it on their own, they're not able to collaborate or brainstorm or externalize it, then they start to have difficulty. I remember during the pandemic, just when it started to hit, thinking that I would be out of a job relatively quickly, because certainly an ADHD coach is a luxury, I was wrong. When everybody was sent home to think inside their head, my phone lit up like a Christmas tree. People were complaining, I have productivity problems, I have motivation problems. And what I saw was, no, you have a thinking impairment. When you were at work, when you were at school, you were in and among people and you were thinking out loud or externalizing thinking far more. And there was this invisible accommodation that was there that's not there anymore. And therein lies the problem. This is really interesting because this is where the two concepts really kind of come together, is because all too often we're trying to use behavioral therapy, all right, to help people with those with ADHD. We are trying to say these are the way that you should go about writing a paper, doing something. What's happening is usually people are doing it inside their head. They're not accommodating these problem-solving stuff as an impairment. Now, certainly we have clocks and we have planners and we've got different types of things, but those are tools that we use to think. Delve into this a little bit more. One of my favorite things to talk about people is decluttering. When you're going to declutter, people just say it sounds like it's easy, but it's actually not. It's cognitively very effortful. When you think about it, you got to take a look at the item and say, do I need it or not? You have to make a decision. Well, sometimes it's obvious that's trash. Maybe that's 10%. Other times it's obvious, 10%. I absolutely need that. I use it every day. The 80% in the middle has become more ambiguous, requires more thought. Do I need it? How often would I need it? Et cetera. If I were to get rid of it, how am I going to get rid of it? Do I throw it away? Or what's common is, I think I'll sell it on eBay. That's kind of funny because I ask people, have you ever thought about selling something on eBay? You got to take a picture of it. You got to write a description. You got to put, there's a lot of thinking that goes along with that. But needless to say, is that's there. But where the rubber really meets the road is when you've got something that you're going to keep, the trick really is where are you going to put it where you will remember that you have it? I tell this story. I had an individual I was coaching one time to really get this concept. And they had a small kitchen. And we had coached around it a little bit. And one day the guy kind of said in passing that he, for present, he got a waffle maker and he was really excited about it. And I said, what are you going to do with it? Meaning that his kitchen didn't really have a lot of space. And he thought for a minute and said, well, I guess I'm going to have to put it under my bed. It wasn't a coaching topic, so I just let the conversation turn, kind of whatever, and coaching ended. Well, 2 years later, I get an email saying, oh, my God, guess what? I have a waffle maker. Basically, what happens, he stumbled upon it because when you have ADHD, remembering that you have something requires you to retrieve existing knowledge, which is impaired. It's not logical that you would have a waffle maker under the bed. It would be logical that the waffle maker was in the kitchen. This is an example of where the impairment really shows up, because while you're going to declutter something, the idea of where is its home going to be? And its home needs to be somewhere where you'll actually remember it. Many of us often have tried to put something in a safe place where we would remember it, and then you can't find it when you need it. The point really here is we're trying to problem solve, right? Trying to figure out where this waffle maker would go, where we would remember. Often, that's a problem. Often things are where they are because that's where we use them. That's where the home is. It might be aesthetically unpleasing. But here's the point to all this. With ADHD, collaborate in terms of planning. They're doing that day. They get somebody to help them declutter. They make decisions. They are now externalizing their thinking. In other words, they have an accommodation. I'm going to repeat, they have an accommodation. And they're able to problem solve. So one of the things that if you listen to me for years, I said, you know, most of procrastination is actually rooted in ambiguity. If you don't know where something is, right, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know how long something's going to take, it makes sense. You go do something else to be more productive. There's also a huge correlation between clarity and motivation. So if the majority of procrastination is rooted in ambiguity, people will say, well, Jeff, if you chunk it down, that's a way to remove the ambiguity or make the thinking easier. And I would agree. But I turn around and say that didn't work. And people are like aghast, like you're contradicting yourself. Well, here's the insight. The insight is it works when you do it outside your head, when you do it with other people, when you have the accommodation. It doesn't work when you go back to your office and just sit there to do it yourself. This is where it all lies. So one of the things that I tell people who argue with me a lot about how ADHD is really not an issue of ambiguity or procrastination, and I'll say, you know, this is a classic metaphor. A person with ADHD needs to write a blog, and they'll schedule it for Thursday at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock comes and goes, and that Thursday comes and goes, and they didn't write the blog. Note, they know what a blog is, so they feel confident they are clear. They wrote it in their planner, they made time, but they didn't do it. Why? Well, because they had a topic, they had ideas, but they didn't actually have the words. It was unclear on how they were going to convey their ideas in a way that would be thoughtful. That's where the ambiguity comes into play. That's why the impairment comes into play. That's what is at issue that nobody's really addressing from an accommodations perspective. This is the insight that I really wanted to share with you guys in this particular show. I've learned this over the years from my coaching practice, what I've learned from Dr. Russell Barkley, what I've learned from Dr. Eastwood about thinking, among other things. Thinking can be euphoric when you're on the verge of an aha, when you're brainstorming, being kind of creative or something like that. But the drudgery of everyday problem solving is really at issue and a challenge and uncomfortable. And when thinking is really, really difficult, there's an overriding emotional urge to escape to something more comfortable. We see people on social media. We see people getting up to go grab an M&M, do all kinds of things. But that's a symptom. The underlying problem is there's a thinking impairment. My charge is accommodations for the impairment are the ones that are drowning in a sea of tips, tricks, and strategies, because many of those tips are just tools. They actually don't do the thinking for you. Just because you put the blog in your planner doesn't mean the planner is going to actually write the blog. So we're coming to the end, and that's the big aha here. The thing is to focus on, you got to make thinking easier, you got to externalize it, and often involves even accommodations in the form for help with some other people. How you do that depends on situational variability, which is what I help with people all the time. But needless to say, we hope that you have found this of value. I'm Jeff Copper. You can learn more of me about what I do at digcoaching.com. Our secret word tonight is important. With that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care. We'll be right back.